You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV, the CBS Sports app, and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Ladies and gentlemen, the show is about to start in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
He'll be fine on the mountain.
Time for Inside the Gamecocks, the show! Built by the Barnuminium Company, served by Chicken Cock Whiskey, and part of the Chiefs Sports Network.
Touchdown, Carolina! Touchdown, Ace Sanders! Pressure, and he just dives in!
And Jamie Bradford.
All right, greetings and good Monday morning. Welcome aboard and welcome home. Inside the Gamecocks, the show live from the Signorama Studios. Signorama is the preferred sign partner of your South Carolina Gamecocks. If you were at Founders Park this weekend for the series win over the Wildcats, you saw their work, including those national championship banners that hang in center field when you walk in. Signorama, located in West Columbia, is Gamecock-owned, and it is Gamecock-operated. Our friend Matt Vaughn and his team are as good as they get. That is why they're the choice of the Gamecocks. Signorama.com. Of course, we are built by the Barn Dough Co. and always served by Chicken Cock Bourbon, the Barn Dominium Company, where you can build your dream home in the Carolinas, in Georgia, and in Tennessee. And Chicken Cock Bourbon, it quenches your thirst, even in the heat of the summer. It is some really good stuff. If you click on the Chicken Cock logo on the Chiefs Sports app, you can find it near you, wherever you are. Chicken Cock Bourbon, partnered with us here on the Chiefs Sports Network. John Whittle is ahead. So is Mike Morgan. It's Monday, and we are fired up to be here. How about the NFL draft? We've got plenty to discuss in that, including where Spencer Rattler fell to, which is crazy, but he did. So we've got you covered from every angle there, including all the guys who have signed, both drafted and undrafted, and where they're heading and maybe what that might look like for some of them. Which undrafted free agents have a chance to sign a long-term deal? We'll talk about some of that. Carolina basketball, of course, is hot on the recruiting trail. Did miss out on a prospect yesterday, but they also got a big one, literally, this weekend. So looking forward to getting into that. And then how about Gamecock baseball? They just continue to cement themselves as a regional host as they took down the Wildcats this weekend at Founders Park. JB, JC, and Phil here until 2 o'clock today. Guys, I want to address something real quick. And I don't think anybody, all of our regulars who are here that we can see in our chat box. We know there's thousands more out there that are listening and stuff like that. And, but there's a lot of regulars in here. And I think all of you will totally back me up when I say this. The Kip Baltnight situation has been totally blown out of proportion. And I love Brad Crawford as much as anybody does. He does a tremendous job. He misquoted Kip. And that quote was taken out of context and it was turned into something that it wasn't. So, you know, I again, everybody here who's watching this, listened to Kip on our show or watched Kip on our program last week and understood what he was saying, that quote that is going on out there was not Kip just deciding to slam the baseball team. If any of you remember, I asked Kip who he would rather face, a team like LSU back when he was playing that hit a ton of home runs, or a team that would foul you off 11 times, run up your pitch count, all those type things. We were talking about it in the context of this offense and being able to do that. They have not done that very much this year, and it was something we thought would make them better. I asked him the question, and his direct quote, his direct response was, if he was pitching against South Carolina, yeah, if I'm facing South Carolina right now, frankly, I'm not concerned. This is coming from a guy who won the Golden Spikes Award. Okay, this is from him. There's way too many strikeouts and way too many big swings and bad approaches with two strikes. I think of a guy like Chris Burke. I'm facing him at Tennessee. I mean, I would literally tell him, here's a fastball, hit it. Just do whatever you're going to do because I don't want to throw 14 pitches to you. And that was it. He went on to compliment Gavin Casas and Ethan Petrie and Cole Messina and those guys and what it looks like when they're at their best. So I hope for the sake of everybody here that if you hear this or you see it, Kip's a big boy. He doesn't need people to step in and defend him. But the narrative that's out there is not correct. And I felt like, because I asked the question, it was probably my obligation to open up this program and make sure that it was corrected on our end, because it was misquoted, and then it grew legs and kind of ran from there. That's all I've got to say about it. I did post a link just a little bit ago in a message thread on the Big Spur. I didn't even know all that existed until I just looked a little bit ago. And it's ludicrous, the comments that are coming in from, I don't know who these kids are and saying what they're saying and stuff like that, but it's not right. And it's not fair to Kip either. Kip gave an honest assessment about what he would do as a pitcher because I asked him a question. And he wasn't wrong about his assessment either. Now, with all that said, South Carolina cleaned up a lot of it on Saturday and Sunday this weekend. And even with 16 strikeouts on Friday night, they found a way to hit four home runs in the ninth and the 10th to pull off a miracle at Founders Park, which is incredible. But, yeah, that grew a lot of legs that they just didn't need to be there. Guys, I apologize for having to open it like that, but I felt like it was the right thing to do.
Hey, look, I'm going to say this, and you're right, and it was unfortunate. Thus is the nature of Twitter/X.
Yeah.
Sure, quotes these days. You can – even in politics, you can construct quite a narrative that 90% of the population believes based on partial quotes that you tweet out to the Twitterverse, yeah. Which is why I hate the Twitterverse a lot. When I retire, yeah. I'm not going to be on it anymore.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
On the ground, like a landline.
Yep.
And you gotta kiss my ass. You know, that's it. I mean, that's come to that point. I mean, if I didn't have to do it for work, I fired off a couple of awesome tweets this weekend about the draft and everything else myself. But look, I'm gonna say this, Kip, all of us probably, and he's lived it, and he's continued to live it ever since he's graduated. He has the right to say whatever the hell he wants. That's first. But second, it was kind of a half quote there. He was just giving an assessment of the current situation with the lineup, and he was absolutely correct. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. If that got in the clubhouse, and apparently it did because Cole Messina responded, which Cole is entitled to do as well, it worked.
Yeah.
if that had anything to do with what happened this weekend, and I don't know that it did, it worked. The ninth inning on of the first game knocked the cover out of the ball. Now, look, I'll admit I got negative after they blew a 6-1 lead and went down 12-6. I'll admit it. You can ask Jamie. I was just, ruh, 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 ruh. I was a little upset. But they came back, almost won it. And then the beauty of the whole weekend was, okay, it's game three. You just blew a 6-1 lead and lost a heartbreaker them Saturday night, right? And you just go out there and take care of dang business and play like you're capable of playing and beat their little smart butts into the ground. And they were a smart butt little baseball team. Okay. And that's South Carolina baseball saying, listen, we are South Carolina and you are Kentucky. and you were lucky to get that one Saturday. Hats off to you. But we're going to prove who we are right now, and this is who you are, and have a safe trip back to night situation was. And that's just a sideshow. I mean, man, these guys got up off the mat, even when some adversity hit, and got it going. And like, I'm with you. I agree with everything you said about Kip and the quote, and he shouldn't be taking crap from anybody about it. And, you know, the team shouldn't feel bad. But if it helped to motivate them, then that, I think Kip would rather that happen, you know, than not. Because like I said, that guy cares more about Carolina baseball than most of us. And I appreciate the fact he's always been honest when he's come on the show. Even when it's broadcast, he's not a homer. He points out what he sees and just lays it out there. And that's kind of what good color commentators do, guys. Not all sunshine and rainbows all the time. And so I appreciate him. The team got up off the mat, and, you know, that's the bottom line to me, is they did. And you got a golden opportunity now with the worst team in the league coming up, who is pesky, going out there, and then a Georgia team that I think everybody probably underrated that's really good coming to town. But still a golden opportunity these next six to get and to start talking realistically about pushing toward the top eight.
I 100% agree. 100% agree. And you're right. That Georgia series is kind of under the radar. A reminder, too, by the way, that's a Thursday through Saturday series. But we've talked so much about how awful it is to go to Missouri. And it's tough to win up there for a multitude of reasons, lack of environment and weather, and the fact that for whatever reason, Missouri is pretty good at home. Over the years, they'll sneak up and surprise you. And everybody knows about the trip to Tennessee. And then in between that, there's this Georgia series, you know, this top 10 RPI Georgia team that's kind of hanging around and battling to host a regional themselves. And they're going to have to come into Founders Park and prove it as well. But, these last nine in the league are going to be – they're going to be really difficult. And so if South Carolina emerges with a 5-4 record, which is what I think is – very realistic and probably exactly where you want to be as long as you win your midweeks to host. It's going to be tough to do that, but it was, Kip, it's over. Let's squash it. And anybody that brings it up, correct them or point them to the show. They can go listen for themselves. I mean, he didn't say anything outlandish or anything like that. When it comes to the offensive approach, as far as the series goes this weekend with Kentucky, that just goes to prove once again that this baseball team is pretty good. I mean, Kentucky is really good, guys. Like, they're really, really, really good. They still lead the league in batting average in SEC play. They're hitting .314 as a team in league play. That's 12 points higher than Tennessee. And they're now third in the league in earned run average in SEC games, and that's just because the Gamecocks clipped them for 29 runs in three games. And if it wasn't for that, you know, they'd probably be leading the league in ERA, or they'd definitely be second, that's for sure, because that's where they were coming in right behind Arkansas. It was an outstanding weekend for South Carolina. I know it was unfortunate Saturday for it to slip away like it did. But that was an outstanding weekend. Coming back yesterday, like you pointed out, JC, and 10 run ruling, the number four team in the country. I mean, someone even mentioned to me yesterday, well, you know, Kentucky's arms, you know, they just didn't look very good. They didn't look like Arkansas. Well, nobody's arms look like Arkansas's arms. I can tell you that right now. You're right. Yeah, whoever says that is bingo, but there's a reason bingo. Why Kentucky's team ERA has been under four in league play. Those guys could pitch. And Carolina didn't care. They tattooed them all over the ballpark this weekend. Now, they also struck out 36 times in three games. That's a lot. And going back to what Kip said on Friday, kind of makes sense, right? So, or Thursday, I guess it was. But at the end of the day, they also scored 29 runs. And here they are. I'll say this. They were – D1 had them projected as a 15 national next week. Now, all this is going to move. With the series, D1 generally won't bump you 2 and 3 spots in the host by winning a series. It's rare, especially if you win at 2-1. But if they bump them one spot, which they will, they would be in line as a 14 seed. Anybody know who the projected 3 seed is?
Clemson?
The Clemson Tigers. And if that was the case, these two could meet in a super regional in the upstate if all of this held true over the next month or so.
You don't want that.
No.
We'll see.
With the type of year it's been in that rivalry series, you don't want to give them the cherry on top of that. I mean, that's a big cherry on top of the sundae too, because it tears down everything.
See, I would run to that if somebody.
I think Carolina could give them hell. I mean, don't get me wrong, they could win the series, but they could also lose the series because Clemson's a very good baseball team. I mean, it's two good teams going at each other just like this weekend. But I'd maybe want on the SEC. That's the key, I think, is you don't want a big. I mean, you don't want to go on the road in the SEC and the Supers.
Well, I can tell you this. I can tell you this. It's really up to South Carolina to keep improving. But as of now, if your top four seeds are A&M, Arkansas, Tennessee, and Clemson, I don't want any part of going to Bluebell Park, Fayetteville, Arkansas, or Knoxville, Tennessee in a super regional. I'd rather go to the upstate and take on my rival and pay them back for what happened in the regular season. I'd personally rather do that.
That makes sense. Yeah. Because A&M's and Arkansas I think they're the top two teams in the league. And then Tennessee is, they've had Carolina's number of late. And of course, three in Knoxville later. Maybe that turns, but I wouldn't want any part of that, you know. But I'm telling you, if you can go find a way to sweep Missouri and then find a way to get two of three from Georgia and then win one in Knox, you can be 6-3 and win all your midweeks and maybe get in the conversation, you know.
Oh, better, there's no question.
Absolutely. Maybe you go 7-2. Who knows? I mean, Tennessee's not unbeatable, you know. It is up there, but, you know, Georgia's not unsweepable. Even though I do think Georgia is much better than people give credit for. I mean,
no
JB sent a score. Second inning, it was what, Georgia 9, Texas A&M 8?
That's in the first inning.
Yeah, I was like, that game must be wrapping up. And then I looked at the inning. I'm like,
first inning. And then they lost 19-9. They scored nine runs in the top of the first. Didn't score. I've never seen that.
A&M whipped that honey, but I was like, wow, these good players. Weird saying Charlie Conn. Was a guy that he was the attorney general in the state of South Carolina back in the 90s. I think y'all remember him.
Oh yeah, I grew up with his kids. Yeah, I went to school with Charlie Condon's kids. Yeah,
Jordan Beckham over there. You know, Carolina quarterback. So you think it did? The immediate thought when I saw Charlie Condon was, did Charlie Condon's kid get out of state and go to Georgia? And now he's just a great player. But no, that's not true. It'd probably be his grandkid or great grandkid. If that was, there's no relation there. But
no relation.
It's interesting to kind of look at that. Yeah. So
none. All right. Well, it's 11:20. We're all kind of brothers here, and John Whittle's a brother of ours as well. So we're all of relation. How about that? A week ago today, we were playing golf at Fort Jackson up in Columbia for the Big Spur Golf Tournament. Can't thank everybody enough for joining us there. But John's going to join us next, more on baseball. By the way, guys, plenty on Spencer Rattler in the draft. We want to make sure Mike Morgan can be a part of this conversation too, and he'll be joining us at noon for two full hours. We got a lot to get to there in recruiting and stuff like that for Gamecock basketball and so on and so forth. So it's a packed day, but John Whittle will join us next right here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
We have started in 1979. Because we're a manufacturer, we're able to control our costs. That's why we like to manufacture as much of the product as we can, because in our factory stores, we can offer a competitive edge over other people around the country. When people come into one of our Palm Casuals, it's like they're buying their car at Detroit. They're going right to the factory and buying their car.
30-day money-back guarantee. That's a big deal with us. I mean, we give 30 days to do anything. I mean, return it, change it, get a different color, get your money back.
When you pull into a store and it says Palm Casual, you know you're at a factory store.
Rescues and Resin, proud supporters of Carolina Rise. They are also proud partners of the show. They make products you can't get anywhere else. Custom designed wood and resin products that make your tailgate, make your home, or make anything stand out. Order a custom cutting board, coasters, wall art, tables, and more. Contact Dustin and Tabitha at rescuesandresin.com today. Rescuesandresin.com, and put your imagination to work. Rescues and Resin, proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
Hey, Gamecock fans, Mike Morgan here. During my time in Columbia, one of my favorite places to eat was Salsarita's. When I go back now for work or any other reason, it's still Salsarita's. Yeah, I'm like you. I love tacos. I love Tex-Mex. Where are you going to go to get them? Well, you've got two convenient Salsarita's locations, one in Lexington at the Target Center and one in West Columbia as well. Now, if you like tailgating, and who doesn't? Whether it's for a football game or anything else, they've got the catering hotline. Get yourself some Fiesta packs to take tailgating. Get yourself the Three Amigos bundles for tailgating. They make catering easy with a fresh hot setup, and again, you just call the phone number 803-543-6297 to set it up. You can also look them up online, or you can even download the app. Salsarita's is just a cut above the rest. That's why they're serving Williams-Brice Stadium in the South Stands, also serving in the Colonial Life Arena. Again, that catering hotline number, make it easy for you and the folks out there. You don't need to settle for sandwiches every time. 803-543-6297. 803-543-6297.
It's 2024, and it's time to get in shape. Charleston Fitness Equipment can help you do just that in Mount Pleasant. The Wilkins family, big Gamecock fans and proud supporters of Carolina Rise and our programming on the Chiefs Sports Network. But most importantly, proud supporters of you getting healthy and staying healthy. CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Find them on the Chiefs Sports app and in Mount Pleasant. Happy New Year.
Our coverage of Gamecocks baseball is presented by Resto Pros of the Midlands. On call 24 hours a day and ready to respond to your emergency needs.
That place was on fire this weekend. Carolina took 2 of 3 from the Kentucky Wildcats at Founders Park. Our coverage always presented by the incredible team at Resto Pros of the Midlands, RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Unfortunately, we all have major issues we don't want to deal with, whether it's water or fire or wind or smoke damage. It's not good, right? If you own a business or if you own a home, and these things happen, these are the guys you want to call for a multitude of reasons. First and foremost, because they take care of you better than everybody else can. They get you through the insurance process. That's always a struggle. You don't want to deal with that. Jeff Sturgis and his team will guide you on how to properly do it sanely, and they'll get you cleaned up, and they'll get you feeling a lot better. And then at the end of the day, you're also doing business with a Gamecock fan, and Jeff Sturgis is a big one, literally and figuratively. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. They were also the title partner for last week's TBS golf tournament out at Fort Jackson, which was brilliantly run by John Whittle. And we are all proud partners with these guys. They're tremendous in what they do for the University of South Carolina. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. John's pretty good at what he does for the Gamecocks, too, covering them as well as anybody on the planet. And we're always happy to have him on Monday mornings. Hey, brother.
Yeah, Jeff Sturgis is kind of like Captain Planet, I think. Y'all remember that show? You got Earth, you got fire, you got wind, you got water. I'm not sure where heart fits in. Maybe that's just his
– He brings the heart.
Maybe that's just his heart. Yeah, he brings the heart, right? So Jeff is basically Captain Planet.
All right, that's pretty good. We'll have him – we're going to do some stuff for our partners soon and have some of them on the air with us to have some fun. Maybe that'll be his nickname, Captain Planet. How about that? How about that? John, I just so you know, I hadn't even looked at the Big Spur. I hadn't even looked at it till this morning. And I saw that you had to address and post a message on there from Kip. And I posted a link on there too. And I want to make sure I did. We're going to move on and talk about the game, but I just want to make sure you know this. That was misquoted. It was not what was quoted nationally. And I love Brad, but that's not what happened. I asked him who he'd rather face, because Carolina's been having problems, you know, striking out and not having quality at bats and things like that. And I said, would you rather face LSU when you're pitching, who hit 150 balls out of the yard, or would you rather face the guy who's fouling you off 11 times before they put the ball in play or strike out? And he said, and he gave his response and said, obviously, if he was facing the Gamecocks, he wouldn't be concerned. This is from a guy who won the Golden Spikes Award, so he sees it differently. And went on to talk about how many strikeouts and big swings and poor approaches with two strikes they've had. But he talked about Chris Burke and how he would tell Burke, just hit the baseball. I'm not going to sit here and do this with you for 14 pitches. So that was a little blown out of proportion. But I commented on your thread this morning with the entire quote and linked it to the show as well. And I hope that brings some context, because that was not very fair to Kip with how it was portrayed. So with that said, Gamecocks weren't very fair to Kentucky this weekend either. They took them out twice. Almost they were. How close was that ball that Casas hit? A foot, 2 feet, maybe, from leaving the yard?
Well, it didn't even need to leave the yard. It just needed to get over the guy's head. And it was a foot or two from doing that. I mean, that guy was at running at full tilt and was at full stretch when he jumped to make that catch. I mean, it was a foot, maybe 2 feet, if we're being conservative on getting over that guy's head. And if it does, with two outs and you know, everybody running on contact, I mean, that certainly would have been a game-ending double, and with the guy scoring from first base. So, you know, South Carolina was, like, literally a foot away from having a series sweep. But that was a heck of a play. I mean, sometimes you got to have defensive players make big plays, and certainly McCarthy out there in center field did that for him. But man, Gavin did a nice job. That was a two strike swing, and just did a nice job there. And there, he made a play. Then their guy made a play.
Clint didn't have Captain Planet on his bingo card today. I didn't have Gavin Casas, late inning hero, on my bingo card this weekend. I mean, you got to admire the guy. In and out of the lineup, hadn't had the year hitting homers he did. That game Friday, I mean, it was almost predetermined. He just looked confident and swung the bat. And like you said, that wasn't on him. That was a great defensive play. So I think that's very promising, John, when you can have guys that we know are capable of hitting the ball at this time of year, heading towards the postseason. Things like that give you confidence. Even the out, I think he goes, oh, hey, next time, there's not very.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And the others that were clutch late Friday and helped to rally Saturday and then were really good on Sunday, I would think that would help, you know, get some confidence back. Whittle is frozen. Ooh. Like Han Solo. I didn't have Han Solo on my bingo card either. You froze there, dude.
Yeah, I think it was you that froze.
Yeah,
actually.
We think. Yeah, I think it was you.
Yeah,
yeah. But I get your point, JC. I see where you're going with that one, and for sure, like, you know, Gavin struggled against right-handed pitching this year, which is odd. considering he's a left-handed hitter. He's been so much better against lefties, and you know, but he hit that home run in the ninth off of a right-handed pitcher. And, you know, that kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit. Was that guy who Kentucky brought in to close out that game? He had given up two earned runs in 20 and two-third innings this year. So for South Carolina to square him up three times like they did, that was certainly a big deal. And you know, the Byers kid that they brought in to face Jackson had similar numbers. So I mean, it was an impressive job that day. And Casas has done well when he's had opportunities. They just haven't given him a whole lot of opportunities against right-handed hitters. I mean, he's hitting close to 300 in SEC play, has four home runs in SEC play. You know, he's done a pretty good job overall, and he did fine over there at third base as well. You know, obviously that first throw got away from him a little bit, and you know, a new first baseman over there too. And you know, if Gavin Casas is over there trying to pick up that throw, you know, Gavin Casas probably makes that pick. But you know, regardless, you know, Gavin had a nice weekend, and some guys are starting to turn it on right now for sure.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There is a ton to talk about from this weekend. It was the most unique weekend I can remember in quite some time, with guys playing in different positions and how all three of these games unfolded, from the walk-off to the 28 runs on Saturday, and then yesterday the 10-run rule. And it had a little bit of a mix of everything, John. I mean, I have felt like, first of all, going into the weekend, I felt really good about Carolina being a regional host. Feel even better about it now, of course. But I also felt like they sure could use a spark, you know, or some energy. Or something that just kind of gets people collectively, when I say people, I mean the team, the fans, everybody on the same side and just kind of rolling in the same direction and cheering for the same things and pissed off at the same things. And
that's what Kip did.
Hey.
I'm just kidding.
You know? But I mean, here's the thing. Ninth inning, Friday night, back to back. And you're like, what's going on here? And then you get the walk off. And then you get on Saturday, 28 runs and Blake Jackson gets plunked, and that was kind of ridiculous. I thought it was intentional. That's me. And I'm not one of those guys. I never look at it that way. I thought it was. And you got people all fired up about that. And then they lost in the fashion in which they did. And then they turned around yesterday. And they beat the brakes off of Kentucky. Matter of fact, Kentucky's lucky the 10-run rule's in place, or it might have been 14-0. I mean, they beat the brakes off of them. What do you think a weekend like this, with all of that SQ's performance and all the big knocks that they had and all those things going on, what do you think that could do for this program with the three series left in the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, it can certainly give them some momentum, and this is a time of year where, you know, you're out of school, no more classes, and you can focus just on baseball, and sometimes those things have a tendency to ride a little bit more when, you know, you just have baseball to focus on. So yeah, but, you know, we asked Mark Kingston on Friday night, you know, with the way this game went down, can this be like the turning point game? And he's like, let's calm down on that a little bit. You know, momentum is the next day's starting pitcher is a phrase we've heard a million times in baseball. And, you know, of course, we sit there and see six runs in that first inning on Saturday. It's like, okay, well, maybe last night's win does carry over. And then they give up 11 straight runs and end up losing that one. So, you know, I think you just have to kind of look back and reflect upon a season and, you know, maybe not jump to a conclusion just yet that this is the turning point. Maybe you can reflect on it later and say, you know, that actually was, you know, when things started going the right way for this team. But, you know, you just have to start stringing, or you have to continue to string good games together, good wins together. You have to keep performing with two strikes and two outs and like you did this past weekend, and you know, that stuff will build, and you know, if that happens, then South Carolina is going to be in a really good spot at the end of the year, because like you said, if the season ended today, South Carolina is certainly a host, and you know, they're in very much positioned to hold on to that, you know, with what's left in the rest of the regular season. And, you know, you've got some opportunity there too, to enhance your resume and get into the conversation of being a top eight. You know, you're still far outside of that. You're not in that conversation yet, but you know, you go you have an opportunity against Missouri to stack some wins. Then you're going to have another top 25 chance against Georgia at home. And, you know, then Tennessee, which is an opportunity to go on the road and win a high profile series against a really good team or play well. You've got chances.
Yeah, there's no question. I'm glad you said it because it's true. And they absolutely can work their way into a top eight seed if things go their way. They've won two of the last three series. If you include the midweek against North Carolina, dating back just a few weeks here now, they've had 19 opportunities against top 25 teams. They're 11-8 in that span. They also have the second most wins in college baseball versus Quad One. John, they're 12-12. They've played 43 games, and 24 of those games, that's bizarre. 24 they've played against Quad One teams. It's the most in the country. And they're 12-12 in those opportunities, and they really don't have a bad loss this year. So, I mean, like you said, if they take care of Missouri, and if I think after that they need to win one more series and don't get swept in the other one, and you finish with 16 wins, you're absolutely a host. And you're working towards a top eight. It's quite a resume. They've built quite a resume. And by the way, five of those 12 Quad One losses by one run.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've done a lot really well, and you know, this schedule's made me look dumb. You know, I said before the year that it wasn't really the most challenging, most difficult schedule, and South Carolina caught some breaks and when it came to SEC scheduling, and you know, there's opportunities for it to be more difficult, but not many. So Texas A&M ended up being much better than I thought and so many people thought. And, you know, Arkansas has been even more of a machine than I think people really, really felt like they would be. You know, Ole Miss is, I mean, they're more competitive than they were last year. So anyway, in the non-conference strength of schedule is right there around 100, I think. So that's a little bit better than I thought it would be. And, you know, it's ended up being a really challenging schedule overall, which is why, you know, you're sitting there with 24 Quad One games. And, you know, that's, I think you said second most in the country. I think that's the most out of maybe Kentucky has more. I forget who has more, but, you know, even in the rest of the SEC, I mean, you're playing more top notch games than the rest of the SEC is.
Yeah. So South Carolina and Alabama are tied for the most Quad One games played, with 24. Bama's 10-14 in those 24. South Carolina's 12-12, and Kentucky has the most Quad One wins in the nation. They are 14-4. They've played, quote, only 18 Quad One games, so that's where the Gamecocks stack up. As far as this team getting more of them, you will go to what we saw this weekend. So Casas, I mean, outside of not being exactly fleet of foot, he played all right over there at third. I thought for the most part, Petrie played all right over there at first. I thought for the most part, John, when LeCroy got moved to short. Of course, that was a late inning change, and then he ended up staying there on Sunday. Thought he looked pretty smooth. It's not like he hadn't played it before. He played it in high school. Brendling plays a nice center field, but I don't know if we should comment on his, you know, arm status or not. I don't think that's something Mark's addressed. I'm not so sure that I need to step out and do it, but you know, he doesn't throw it very well for a couple of reasons right now, but he tracks it down out there, and that's your leadoff guy, John. I mean, that's your prototypical leadoff hitter. Look what he's doing up there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Austin was great out there this weekend offensively and has been ever since he stepped foot in the lineup against Arkansas. I'm not a fan of the lineup at all from a defensive standpoint. I think Casas is okay over there at third base, and you know he's not the most fleet of foot, but he does seem to read the ball pretty well off the bat. I think it's going to cause problems, especially with South Carolina's pitching staff being a lot of sinker ballers. And, you know, we saw that on Saturday. I mean, yeah, it put up 13 runs, but, you know, they also gave up 15. And, you know, that's a lot on the pitchers. I'm not putting it all on the defense, but you look at what that first inning was. And, you know, there's a ground ball three hopper up the middle, and Talmadge can't make the play on that one. And, you know, I think there's no way for me to prove it, but Tippett has made that play all year. Obviously, he's not available, so that's a moot point with him. But, you know, Ellis has made that play too. Casas fields a ball, hot shot, throw was wide, probably should have been at least blocked up by Petri over there. Then you have a guy go first to third on a tag up from second to go to third on a fly ball that was medium depth to straightaway center. And that was all in the first inning on Saturday. And that just kind of set the tone for that game and what it would be. Now, when you score 13 runs, me and you should be able to play a couple of positions out there and still win the game.
Hey, I can play.
Well, yeah, you can play. Probably not right now. How old are you now?
Yeah, I'm not going to the hot corner. Like,
right.
I'll take Whittle at first, man. Whittle's got hands. I'll take Whittle at first.
Actually, I'd still rather squat down. I'll squat down behind the plate and catch 95 before I'm going down to third in college baseball.
No.
But the point is that defensively, like, or when you put up that many runs offensively, you should be able to manage the game well enough with regardless of who's on the mound, regardless of who's playing in the field. You should be able to get through that and win. But it set a poor early tone. Now, on Sunday, that exact same defense was out there. But SQ was straight dealing, too. You know, in South Carolina, God was smiling on the Gamecocks, as Steve Spurrier would say, on Sunday. They had some balls that were hit right to them. They had I forget which hitter was up, but they had the big shift played and on one at bat where, you know, it was a left-handed hitter, so three guys are to the first base side of second base. And Casas is kind of floating over there, kind of at a shortstop position, kind of third base, and ground ball, double play ground ball gets hit right to him. And, you know, that's great coaching, good positioning of your players, a little bit of fortune there too. So South Carolina, because of what SQ did, I mean, I thought he only caught probably two barrels that entire game. I mean, that's how good Dylan SQ was. So there's going to be some times when you have that lineup out there from a defensive standpoint where it's not going to look pretty. There's going to be some times out there where they score a bunch of runs and are going to have to win that way. But, you know, Kingston said after the game yesterday, and I wish I had the quote right in front of me, and I think I do, actually. It said, you want to have your best team when it matters the most, when the game decides who stays and who goes home. We'll continue to look at everything that we think might get us a little bit better and then evaluate as we go. So basically what he's saying is I have an opportunity to see this, and I'm going to take advantage of that opportunity to see what this looks like. And when we get into tournament time, I'll know what that option looks like. And I respect that. I completely respect that. And, we got an opportunity to see what that defensive alignment looked like. And we got an opportunity to see how those guys would play in that defensive alignment. I think there's some good takeaways. I think there's some takeaways that you don't really want to have to see again, but you know, you've got a chance to see what it looks like. And, you know, when it becomes, you know, late May, early June, you'll know what you have in that.
I kind of took that quote from King post game, John, to mean don't get used to anything with this lineup defensively or, you know, at the plate. And we're going to look at it before every series, and it may be different for the next three weekends. Do you think that's a good take off of what he said?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's certainly leaving the door open to having the opportunity to put that back out there and do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. You know, whether that's this weekend or next or tournament time or never again, you know, he's had the opportunity to see it and is leaving the door open to doing it again.
Yeah, John, I heard you, by the way, even though I had to check out for a second. I heard exactly what you were saying. I think that was a great interpretation of what King said. And as far as the staff goes as well, I mean, it's kind of hard to envision now that what we saw this weekend isn't going to be what we see next weekend, right? With Kimball, Eli, Dylan Eskew, I think it'd be far-fetched to think that they're going to change it again at this point.
Yeah. From a pitching staff standpoint, I think that's probably where you got to go back to. I mean, you know, Dylan was awesome on Sunday. I mean, I think, and Eli would never admit this, and there's obviously no way to prove it either, but it kind of goes back to what I was saying from a defensive standpoint. You know, I think that first inning kind of got in Eli's head a little bit. Eli was leaving more pitches up than, you know, he has in any outing that I can remember. And, you know, when you're trying to beat guys up top with a fastball, you get fly balls. And mm-hmm. if you're not getting a swing and miss, and, you know, he was probably hoping to get a couple of pop outs, if not a swing and miss. And, you know, a couple of those balls just got hit hard. So, you know, I think that played into him, you know, being probably the most ineffective he's been all year. Kentucky's offense obviously has something to do with that too. But, you know, I think he still gives you the best chance to go deep into a game. And, you know, we saw we saw a little bit like what Kingston was trying to do and Matt Williams was trying to do this past weekend, and using Garrett Gainey and Chris Veach on Friday and having them available and fresh on Sunday. It, you know, just didn't end up needing them by playing seven innings and you know, being as good as they were. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's the way you go. Roman had another pretty good outing, and yeah, you want to try to get him, you know, maybe into get him through the fourth next time, maybe even towards the fifth. But, you know, I think that Roman's certainly going in the right direction, and you're starting to feel a little bit better about, you know, the structure of your staff.
John Whittle joining us. It is 11:48 here, John. Good question. Bill in the chat box, he asked me, but we'll do this collectively here. A realistic scenario to get a top eight. I mean, I think they've got 11 wins right now in the league, and I think they probably would need six more in the regular season to be right in the thick of it, John, without getting swept somewhere. Like, you can't just sweep the next two series and then get swept. Like, you probably have to that would require you winning a pair and then not getting swept somewhere else. But then also, of course, it depends on what happens around you. It's not just South Carolina. The projected top eight by D1 baseball last week, and that's what I go by. They had A&M at one, Arkansas at two, Clemson at three, Tennessee at four, Kentucky at five, East Carolina at six, North Carolina at seven, and Wake Forest at eight. Wake Forest, their resume is eerily similar, by the way, to the Gamecocks. So if they redo these projections this week, we'll see how that affects Kentucky. And it's certainly going to move the Gamecocks up at least to a 14, if not a 13. So the way that I see this is, if you continue to win series, you probably have a chance to continue moving up a seed. And then if you sweep a series somewhere, you probably have a chance to move up two seeds. I think they can, but they got to win their midweeks and they got to go 6-3 in league play. That's what I think.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I mean, like you said, it's going to be a lot dependent on what the teams in front of them do, right? Like, it's much harder to pass teams that keep winning, you know, yep, regardless of whether you keep winning. Right. So, you know, they're in that position for a reason right now. And you know, South Carolina's got some opportunities to get some good wins and move up on their own accord. But, you know, you need a little bit of help too when you're down in the 14 or 15 spot with 3 weeks to go. But, I mean, I will say that, you know, it feels to me like baseball is – much more willing to reward a team for what they do in their conference tournament than basketball. So, you know, if you find yourself at 17-13, which I think is the mark you have to get to be in the conversation going into conference tournament weekend. But if you can get to that 17 mark, which is going to be a real challenge, by the way. But if you get to that 17 mark and then make some hay in the conference tournament, you've got a real chance to move up even more. You don't really move up so much in conference basketball tournaments, but you really can do so in baseball. You know, RPI is a big deal. Oftentimes the committee in baseball leans really hard on the RPI, and South Carolina is going to have RPI chances to keep improving that. So, I mean, those are the big things to get into that top eight discussion. Right now you're definitely on the outside, but there's opportunity to at least be in the conversation.
Yeah. I mean, hey, look, again, Wake Forest last week projected, as a top eight. Of course they had, they've dropped seven spots in the RPI. They're 27-16 overall, 11-12 in quad one chances. And the reason that they slipped seven spots is because they lost the series on the road in Notre Dame. Like that's not good for them and state, like they'll be out of the top eight projections this week. They'll still be in a regional host projection, but they won't be in the top eight. So yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Carolina can't control that. They just have to keep winning on their end and let teams move around behind them. I will say this though. I think the number, we mentioned this last week, John, did we mention it with you? I think the number right now for sure in the SEC is six. They're going to host six regionals. I'm not saying top eights. I just mean six regionals, but I'm pretty sure this league can play themselves into seven host sites. And there's probably 8 to 10 teams that if things go well are all battling for those last, what, one or two. The first five I think are pretty sewn up. So there's the next 3 weeks. I mean, it's still Carolina could go 2-7 and be way on the outside looking. They won't even be hosting. They'd be, you know, a lower two seed. So it's these next three weekends. There's just, I mean, I don't think I've seen it this competitive in a long, long time. If ever, it's crazy how many teams are kind of in that bubble with a chance to break through.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of teams that are kind of jumbled together. Not a whole lot of separation. You know, Kentucky came back to the pack a little bit, but Kentucky and Arkansas have been kind of the class of each division this year. LSU has moved out of the basement for right now, but, you know, Auburn and Missouri have kind of been the at the bottom. LSU and Ole Miss are down there, you know, barely ahead of them, but there's so many teams that are kind of stacked right there, right around that 500 mark. And, you know, it's been a very competitive SEC. There's been a lot of teams that have been winning series at home, and it's been really difficult to win on the road. It's been really difficult for a lot of teams to sweep. You know, it's been an interesting year in the league for sure.
By the way, hat tip to our friend Chad Holbrook, College of Charleston, now 31-11 and 14-4 in the league, and they are in the top 50 of the RPI after winning a series this weekend at Campbell. All right, have you had a chance to take an early look at the Missouri Tigers, who are 19-26 overall and 6-15 in the league?
Well, real quick, how about the fact that the pitching show put on Friday night at Founders Park was by two former Cougars who, you know, still had an opportunity to be down there with those guys. You know, Ty Good was just incredible. I don't think we can get out of this segment without mentioning how good Ty was on Friday either. I mean, he was as close to unhittable as I've seen. And he was, he did it against a great lineup. I mean, top, in league play in terms of runs scored and batting average, and right top three and doubles and home runs and stolen bases and basically every category and offensively. Like Ty was great. And then Trey Pouzer, I mean, he beat the Gamecocks for a really long time on Friday night. So I mean, if those guys were still down in Charleston, I mean, that they'd be even better. But anyway, back to Missouri, you know, they've been competitive this year. Like even last week against Tennessee, they got swept in Knoxville, but the last two games were 3-2 ball games. The first one wasn't close, but you know, they've been competitive. They swept Florida at home. They took a game from a couple of good teams as well.
Georgia.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's going to be a challenge. And you know, what Missouri does well is they pitch. They've got some really, really bad offensive numbers. You know, so folks complain about what South Carolina is offensively. And, you know, I mean, South Carolina looks like a murderer's row compared to what Missouri is. Missouri scored 71 runs in SEC play this year. That's last. The next is Auburn in 13th with 93. So that's 22 runs difference right there between 13th and 14th place. I mean, they just have had trouble scoring all year long. And so what that tells me is if South Carolina's pitching staff goes out and, you know, takes care of Missouri offensively like they should, you know, Missouri has pitched pretty well at times. Mm-hmm. If South Carolina can not, you know, 6 runs is the run total that Mark Kingston keeps circling. And, you know, if they put up 6 runs, then they should probably sweep this weekend. So, but Missouri can pitch a little bit, and they haven't really done much offensively all year. So assuming that holds true, South Carolina's got a chance to come back very, very happy on that plane ride.
By the way, 13, this is a pretty, I hope I don't jinx anybody. Mark, Monty, it's on me. But they've played 21 league games. 13 of those 21 league games, Missouri has scored 2 runs or less.
2. Not very good. You know, even going into this past weekend, take out the 13 and the 10 and, you know, what South Carolina did offensively this past weekend. South Carolina was 6th in the SEC in runs scored in SEC play and 7th overall. You know, I think that sometimes we look at what South Carolina is offensively and see the negative and the bad things. But at the end of the day, scoring runs is the name of the game. And you don't put on in front and center of the Christmas card that you send out that tells all the details about your family. You don't put that you are 6th or 7th in runs scored. That's not something to really boast about. But it hasn't been as bad as a lot of folks lead you to believe with what they've been offensively. So, you know, after this past weekend, you're 5th in the league in runs scored, and that's not a terrible place to be.
No, I mean, like the Florida series was really, they've been serious and they've been good in individual games. I think the strikeouts are what gets people. And I think that's just baseball. Nobody likes to watch strikeouts.
JC, you're absolutely. It's been the strikeouts and the big moments with runners in scoring position.
Now, those are killer. Because then you don't get excited when it's, like I told Kip the other day, you don't get excited when it's first and second with no outs. It's a suspension of belief because, you know, once you've seen it several times, I mean, heck, it was second and third, nobody out the other day. And I literally sat there, my negative butt said, they won't score. And they didn't. I hated to be right in that situation. But look, you're right, John. I mean, it's not as bad. It's pretty good. It's getting better. Go get 4 wins this week. East Tennessee State, I hope they're not that good.
They are. They're 52 in the RPI.
Yeah, they're good.
Another
it's a, good it's one. A quad two.
They need to win this one, but and hey, go get some wins and see where they go.
Yeah,
it's a good time to be playing good.
Jamie, nice hat. Check out my buddy Ribo Carolina if you want to get a hat just like that one. They got the black one as well with the garnet tree. I'm about to go see Captain Planet. I got some stuff to drop off at his office. So I appreciate you guys having me on. And I will listen to your music as y'all fade away.
Okay. Thank you, John. Give Captain Planet a hug for us. Thank you. All right. Speaking of hugs, Mike Morgan. I don't know if that has to do with Mike, but we'll just tie it in somehow. He's up next here on ITG.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams, or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs, or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
The season rolls on at Love Chevy, where the inventory is overflowing and the deals are in full bloom. Rev up your season with Love's exclusive specials on Suburbans, Tahoes, Silverados, Trailblazers, and the ever-popular Chevy Trax. They're hard to find. At Love Chevy, get behind the wheel and feel the possibilities. New adventures, new destinations, just you and the open road. Act now for Springtacular Savings at Love Chevrolet, the best selection of new Chevys, the lowest price, guaranteed. The other dealers upsell, overcharge, and will say most anything to get the sale. At Love Chevy, satisfied customers say it all. Things like helpful, knowledgeable, honest, and fun. Your trusted hometown Chevy dealer since 1961. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Together, let's drive.
That's the power.
Hey Gamecock fans, this is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour slower than my fastball. Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. Visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark and go Gamecocks.
Hey Gamecock Nation, my name is Kyle, longtime listener of the show and avid golfer. I wanted to take my game to the next level, but let's face it, golf is a hard game to learn on your own. I heard the ad from McKellar Enterprises and reached out to the owner and former Gamecock golfer, Meredith Taylor. In just 2 months of working with Meredith, I shot my lowest round ever and I've never felt more confident in my golf game. So if you're looking to take your game to the next level, go to McKellarEnterprises.org and book your lesson today with former Gamecock golfer, Meredith Taylor. Go Gamecocks!